heart. Yeah, we went from head to heart to hands. Yeah, so yeah. But anyway, it was a reminder, and we took that journey whereby we wanted to focus on how it was that God would enter into our minds through God's word and through the things that God brought to our attention. And then we wanted to engage in that point where we'd feel God's presence with us and then go into action, be sent to serve with our hands. Then we segued into this series called Pulse. And with Pulse, have any of you journeyed along with these themes? Pulse, the first one was, each one had a short phrase that went with it. First one was, for P was paying attention. Yeah, obviously somebody did, so that's good. And we focused on how it was that we pay attention not only to God's word, but pay attention to the things that God was bringing into our life experiences. Then the U stood for understanding empathy. So how is it that we understand the kind of empathy, the kind of compassion that God has for each of us? And we explored that. And then L last week was loving with connection. How do we experience the love that comes into God's life so that we can connect that love with the love that God wants us to share with one another? Today we focus on the S, sensing the sacredness. And next week we're going to do the E, which is embodying new life, but we'll leave that for next week. So today we focus on the S. When I was focused on preparing for today, the S, sensing the sacredness, I was engaged in this. Immediately this passage from Isaiah came to mind. And if you're taking notes, or even if you're not, a couple of things to know about this. One is that the people had strayed far from God. You already heard me say that. And God was calling Isaiah to be a prophet, to call them back into accountability, to call them back into relationship with him. And so he allowed Isaiah to have this incredible experience in the temple, where he truly, truly experienced God like none other and sensed the sacredness of God. But he was doing that so that he wasn't just giving him a once-in-a-lifetime experience. He was doing that so that he could equip him to serve, to be a prophet, and he was going to send him. So the words that are evoked from Isaiah's lips, here I am, send me, was inspired by the Spirit inside of him. So what I'd like to do, if you've got your Bibles open to Isaiah 6, that's fine, or Isaiah, yeah, 6. What I'd like you to do with somebody close to you, would you just have a conversation, brief, remembering a moment in time when you sensed the sacred, and have that conversation, and then also a moment in time when you felt sent, when you felt like, wow, I am being equipped for something. So would you just turn to somebody or find somebody to talk to and just have that conversation based on Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. You guys want to talk? I can join you. Sure. I'll be happy. So I'm going to call you back, even if you're still engaged in conversation. If you want to continue it, that's great. I think of conversations like this as holy moments. Connecting with somebody, I think, is a God gift. And maybe not the same kind of holy moment as Isaiah had in the temple, but I do experience, when I talked with Scott, a sense of connectedness, hearing some of what God was doing in his life. I consider that to be a holy experience. I think that's a privilege when we are allowed a look into the life of someone else and what God has done. When I asked Scott, may I share? Okay, good. I didn't ask, really, nothing like calling you out in front of everybody. So when I asked Scott about sensing the sacred, he said, oh, many, but one that comes quickly to mind is the birth of my child. You know, and I'm sure that probably resonates with some of you. The birth of a child, boy, talk about sensing the miracle, the holiness, the sacredness of God and that gift of life. I resonated with that because I remember holding Bobby for the first time and it's, oh my, you know, that's such a miracle, you know. What about, anybody else have one that they'd like to share, sensing the sacredness? Somebody willing to share?
We talked about nature here, at least I did, and they co-signed me.
Nature, sure, sure.
Yeah, and especially, where were you in Idaho? Where were you?
Utah.
And I was talking about the Grand Canyon, the first time I saw the Grand Canyon, I looked down into it and all the striations and colors, and I said, no man could have created that.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, my wife and I had that experience this summer. We celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary. Isn't that something? Yeah, it says a lot about Shay. It really does. It does. And I know those of you who have seen Shay know how young she looks. She was married as a child. Yeah, exactly. That's legal in Minnesota. So we got away with it. And so now as young, you know, having been married 40 years, a couple, we can do that. And so we went to Utah for our 40th wedding anniversary while we're still young so that we could hike in the national parks of Utah. Do you know that when you get to a certain age that you can buy a pass for the national parks for a lifetime?
Yes.
It only costs $10. And it lasts a whole lifetime. That was a pretty good deal. I had Shay buy one for me. It was really nice. No, I bought it for her, actually. And so we got to explore and talk about the splendor of God's creation. Oh, my goodness. Every new panoramic view. We went to Zion and we went to Bryce Canyon and we went to Arches. And oh, my, I had not experienced anything like that before. That was incredible. And we'd gone to the Grand Canyon before. Wow, yeah, in nature. Any other sensing the sacredness of God experiences, Charlotte? More literal?
Literal,
yeah, gotcha.
I'm sitting here in church, and when Pastor Greg had first come back from his first trip to Africa with World Vision, and all of a sudden I just felt the Spirit in me saying, you will go and do this. You know, just feeling that call to serve.
Wow. So sensing and then being connected to being a call of serving. Wow, I like that. Now, anybody else have a connecting the sacredness and feeling a sense of calling, sending? Yeah, Marie?
Mike and I go to Santa Fe, New Mexico all the time. And, of course, that translates to the Holy City. And I was drawn there years before even tonight because I, for no reason, I just felt that it would be a place of spiritual experience. And when we go there, we drive up to a little thing called Lake Attitude.
Okay. So you sense that sacredness and that. When I was thinking about this, the sending part, I remember way back when, in the early days of my ministry here at Good Shepherd, we have a leader by the name of Cindy Engel. And Cindy is a force of nature. Yeah, she is. By God's power and spirit. And she really is the mother of missions at Good Shepherd. We can call her that. And she embraces that term, the mother of missions, because she's the one that really got us connected and really going. And I remember shortly after I'd arrived, Cindy saying, you know, Pastor, during your interview process, perhaps you, I don't know if you remember this or not, but you remember that I mentioned that if missions is really going to take off at Good Shepherd, that a pastor needs to be involved. Do you remember that conversation? And in front of the whole congregation, you said you agreed. Do you remember how we had that conversation? And I've got, like, lots of witnesses. And now I'm coming back to you and reminding you that we had that conversation, and I think the time has come. And I said, wow, Cindy, you feel pretty strongly about that, it seems. And she said, yes, I do. And I think that one, either you or Pastor Greg, because it's just the two of us here at the time, I said, one or the other of you need to go. And I said, wow, boy, that sounds like something I'll need to pray about, Cindy. I didn't know how else to get rid of her at the time. And so she seemed to go for that. So I went to Pastor Greg after I talked with Cindy, and I said, hey, I had this conversation with Cindy. She says that if missions is really going to grow here at Good Shepherd, one of the pastors is going to have to go. And he said, well, what did you tell her? I said, I said I'd pray about it. And he said, that sounds like a good answer. I've been praying about it, and I think you should go. And at that moment in time, there was something of the Spirit, really, that just, I can still feel it and remember it today, came into me, and somewhat in the spirit of Isaiah, I felt like, here I am, send me. And I knew that God was calling me to go. I've got relatives who are missionaries to other places, and I'm really happy to support them financially and in prayer, but I never, ever thought I would ever go. Now, this is just for a week, so it's not that big a deal, you know, not like some of my relatives who have invested their whole life in missions globally. But that week was transformational. I experienced the sacredness of God over and over again in the people of God of Honduras. And I knew that I'd been sent for a reason. I saw God accomplish things that went way beyond what any of us as humans could accomplish. Way beyond. And it just opened up my mind and my heart to the sacredness of God, the almightiness of God, and that when God sends us, God will accomplish far more than we could ever hope or imagine. So as you're talking about these, another passage of scripture that really comes to life for me when I think about the sacredness of God, sensing that sacredness, is Psalm 8. It's one of my favorites. If you've got a Bible with you, you can look that up. Psalm 8. I love this passage of scripture. If you've got your phones, you can look it up in your Bible app. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The psalmist, that psalm is penned by King David. And it was penned by King David at a moment in his time when he was just being overwhelmed by the awesomeness, the almightiness of God. And then, did any of you happen to see the full moon this week? See the full moon? Wasn't it spectacular? Just spectacular. Think about that full moon that you saw in this context. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. Pretty cool. And then listen to the rest of this passage, or follow along. It says, what is man that you are mindful of him? Think about it in these terms. Who are we that you are mindful of us? The son of man, or our children that you care for us, yet you have made us a little lower than the heavenly beings. This is a personal address. And crowned us with glory and honor. You have made us to be ruler over the works of your hands, and you've put everything under our feet, all flocks and herds, beasts of the field, birds of the air, fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Not only had King David experienced the sacredness of God, but he knew that God had called him to a mighty task, to be the king of Israel. Israel needed a God-fearing leader at that moment in time. Saul had been called and failed, in part because he veered away from what God was calling him to do. King David had learned from that mistake. Now he's being inspired by Almighty God. He knew that God was going to call him to do things that went way beyond his own human ability. And inspired by the majesty and the awe of God, he allowed God to equip him. You know, in King David's day, they used the moon and the stars for navigational purposes. So they knew how to spot the North Star, and they knew how to travel based on the stars. In fact, that's how the wise men found Jesus in the first place, right? They were using the moon and the stars, a special star in particular, right? So David is saying in this psalm not only a testimony about the majesty of God, he is saying, I'm going to trust in God to be the one that leads me, that guides me. I'm going to look to God as my North Star. I'm going to trust in God, the one whose name is majestic above all the earth. I'm going to trust this one. He, as who's called me to be king, is going to be the one that guides and leads me. Can you think of a time in your life, and we won't, you can do this pairing up again if you want, but let's just do it as a conversation. Has there been a time in your life when you have felt led or guided by God, and you knew it was God's guiding that took you to a place, maybe uncomfortable, but you knew that you had to trust in God because you knew left to your own devices? That's what going to seminary was for me. It was. I really wanted to play center field for the Minnesota Twins, but I was having trouble hitting 90-mile-an-hour fastballs, and through a whole variety of other experiences, I felt God calling me to ministry. It was an incredible experience to feel called, but I knew I was in over my head. I knew I'd have to trust in God. God would have to lead and guide and direct me. Anybody had an experience where you really felt God leading you, calling you, directing you? You had to trust in God for that. Going to Africa, maybe? Yeah?
One of the times was we were originally from northeastern Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So we were moved. Like 3 years after being married, 2 years after being married, we were moved from there to Fort Wayne, Indiana. We knew nobody. So we're taking the family's only grandchild.
Mm. Yeah, still a work in progress.
Yeah. But you can just sense, why are you going?
Yeah.
There's a direction, there's a lead that says this is what we need to do, and this is where he's going to take us, and we're going to be successful. And that's where a lot of our actual spiritual foundation grew as well. So
okay.
Not only just employment and life, it was, we were there for a particular reason, not knowing what it was then,
yeah.
But looking back, you can see it.
So truly an Abraham kind of experience, going to a faraway place, away from family, being called away from the safe place where you'd grown, been raised, all of that, and God has grown you through the process. Yeah. Incredible, incredible. I want to have you listen to another passage of Scripture. And in this passage, we usually use this passage on Good Friday. Okay, so it seems like it's out of season. I get that. It's not following the pericope, but it fits the pulse, sensing the sacred in this way. Not only did this person and the people around him experience the sacred, but in addition to experiencing it, they proclaimed the majesty of God. Listen to this account from Matthew chapter 27, beginning with verse 45 and then going through verse 54. Matthew chapter 27, if you want to follow along. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? I want you to connect your life experience with that. Have there been moments in your life when maybe you felt forsaken by God? maybe a life crisis. And then listen to the rest. This is Jesus proclaimed that. When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." They're taunting him through all of this. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Now, Matthew doesn't tell us what happened in the life of the centurion after that, but Matthew uses his testimony to write down these words so that thousands, literally millions of people have heard this witness from the cross. Surely he was the Son of God. He sensed the sacredness and he proclaimed it. When Jesus was dying, not only was he tortured, but he was mocked. All of that going on. I couldn't help but think a little bit about Charlottesville. Think what's going on in our world today. And how is it that we respond as Christians to that? How is it that we become light in the darkness? John chapter 1 is clear. God's light will not be overcome by darkness. The message of the Bible is clear. Love overcomes hate. Hate cannot overcome it. Love overcomes hate. So how is it that we love? How is it that we use scripture and our Christian faith in the Charlottesvilles in our world, our lives? And what is our Charlottesville? We will all encounter something, maybe of a different magnitude, but we will all have moments in time when we are confronted, when darkness is in our world, and we are called upon to look at Christ as our North Star and allow God's word and God's love to guide us so that we can be the Christian witness that God desires for us to be, so that sensing the sacred, we can be sent into the dark places in our worlds. Anybody have a thought about a dark place in life where maybe God is calling you? This time you don't have to respond verbally. This time you can just think about it, write it down if you want. But I want you to think about, where's your Charlottesville? Where is it that God is calling you to be light? Where is it that God is calling you to be the one who proclaims, "Truly, this was the Son of God. Truly, I'm being sent by God." So we had a funeral service yesterday here at church. Audrey Jensen, beautiful, wonderful lady. She's part of our Friday Folder team. Wonderful, neat lady. Love Audrey. Just a great, great lady. Is one of those people, what's not to love about Audrey, you know? She brought great snacks to Friday Folders. I loved her for that, you know? But she was always kind. She always pacified me by saying, "Hey, can I see some more pictures of your grandson?" And she acted like she really wanted to see him, you know. And so I loved Audrey. Audrey died this past week. And when she was told by the doctors there really wasn't anything more that they could do for her, she said, "Well, I think the next best option really is for hospice care. What do you think?" And the doctor said, "Well, yeah, that's probably the best." And she said, "Well, that's okay. You know, let's do that. How do we do that well?" And when I went to visit Audrey in hospice care, I must have looked sad or concerned or whatever. She said, "Pastor, it's okay. I'm at peace." And I'm not just saying that. I know my sister thinks I'm just saying that. No, I really am. I'm at peace. I really am, because Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. This isn't how I wanted this to play out, but I'm okay with this. And I don't know exactly when this is going to play out. I know it's going to be pretty soon, but I don't know exactly when. But here's how it's going to play out, Pastor. I know God has shown me this. When that time comes and God takes me, I'm going to see all of my friends and relatives who are already there, and they're going to say, "Welcome home, Audrey." And I got to tell you, I'm at peace. When I told one of our student ministry leaders that Audrey's funeral was on Saturday, I said I had a funeral. And she said, "Who's?" And I said, "Audrey Jensen." And she said, "Not Audrey." I said, "Yeah, Audrey." I said, "Why?" She said, "Oh, Audrey, not many people knew this. Audrey never had children, but she loved children. And she's one of our biggest supporters for work camp and for children's ministries. In fact, all her memorials are going to Good Shepherd Children's Ministries because she loves children. She wants them to know about Jesus. She wants them to have that kind of peace that passes understanding that she had. She wants them to know the joy of Jesus. This morning at 8 o'clock, we had a baptism. Little Xander was baptized. Xander Niermeyer McHugh was baptized. It was just an incredible experience. It reminded me of those moments when my own boys were baptized. I sensed the sacredness of God, not only at their birth moment, but also in their baptismal moment. And I was reminded of the sacredness of God in those promises that God is making for this child in baptism, and this child being equipped to be sent. When my boys were baptized, the song that we sang back then was this song, "I Was There to Hear Your Borning Cry." Some of you know that song? "I was there to hear your borning cry. I'll be there when you are old. I rejoiced the day you were baptized to see your life unfold." So you see, as we sense the sacredness of baptism, it's not just a sensing, it's a preparation for sending. So the sacredness both fills us with God's Spirit and prepares us to be sent. That's what those baptismal promises are all about. Back in the days when I was baptized, the popular baptismal song was "Beautiful Savior." Perhaps some of you know the words of that song. "Beautiful Savior, King of creation, Son of God and Son of man. Truly I'd love thee." And then do you remember what comes next? "Truly I'd serve thee." So it's not just sensing the sacredness of our beautiful Savior. It's being prepared and equipped to serve, to be sent. So what's your spiritual pulse? What's your spiritual pulse? There's probably lots of ways to monitor or measure that. Two that I want to suggest for you today. Your spiritual pulse is strong and vibrant when you sense the sacred and when you know that you are sent. So I want you to ponder those things today. I want you to think about, what is your Charlottesville? Where is it that God will allow you to sense the sacred in order that you will be sent? So we're going to enter into a time of prayer. And I want you just to ponder that. But before we do, do you have any questions or comments or reflections that this has evoked for you that you would like to offer up for the benefit? Any comments, questions you want to offer up today? Anything that God is speaking into your heart as part of engaging with God's word today? Anything? Well, hopefully you'll ponder that, and maybe in conversations outside of this room or maybe in your conversations this week, you will sense the sacred and know that God is equipping you to be sent. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we thank you so much for the ways in which you allow us to sense the sacred, and the ways in which you call us to be sent. We thank you for allowing Isaiah in the temple that day to sense your presence, your sacredness, and to be sent as a great prophet. We thank you for King David sensing your sacredness and responding to your call to be king, a great king, God-fearing king. We thank you for those leaders who are now in Charlottesville. We pray for them that they might be the light of Christ in a dark place. We pray for your grace, your mercy, your light, your promises to break through the darkness, to let love overcome hate. Lord, we ask this day that we would be allowed to sense your revelation of holiness, in order that we might be equipped to be sent.